Okay. The sugya I'm going to discuss this morning is on Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph, a very famous sugya. It's obviously not connected to the topic, which is the center of Ezeo Neshech, but it's known as the issue of triage in medical terminology. So on Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph, and we'll read the Gemara, and then we'll attempt to examine a number of Marmukomos that relate to this issue. The Gemara in the third line of Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, the Chedetanya, the Gemara quotes for Braisa. The Braisa says, Shnayim Shayim Malchim Baderech, two people walking on the road. Ubiyad Echad Meim Kiton Shomayim. One of them has a pitcher of water. Im shosim shneihem, im shosim shneihem mesim. If they're both going to drink this pitcher of water, both of them are going to die. V'im shosim echad mehem, magi l'yishuv. The statement in and of itself is obviously quite inexplicable. That's the understatement of the year. If one of them drinks it, then somehow the assumption of the Gemara is he will survive, he'll come to civilization. So now the question is, what should we do in this situation? And this, as I said, is relevant to the entire subject of triage, very common issue. I have a number of cases of pikuach nefesh, of subject pikuach nefesh that come to the medical authorities. Whom do I treat first? Or if I only have enough machinery for several people, and I have a fair number of people, whom do I treat first?
Allocation
of resources is a major problem in this country. Problem all over the world, but in this country perhaps more so than elsewhere. That's what my chaveim, my mechutonim, who are doctors here, tell me all the time. And I have several talmidim, also doctors here, a fair number of them. So the Gemara presents a machlokis. Darash ben Petura, the language of Darash, is very significant. Darash sounds like some sort of exegesis is about to take place over here. What was the nature of the drasha? Mutav shishtu shteyem biyamusu. Better that both of them should drink and both of them should die. What's the logic? Val yira echad mehem b'misasol shechavero. What a striking, strange, rather seemingly outlandish kind of rationality to explain his position. He says Darash, but we don't see exactly any drasha. But he presents what he feels is a logical position, that I should not be present when someone else dies. So better let both of us die.
Vayira, it's a direct, indirect cause.
I will discuss the matter, trust me, barichus. Anyway, b'chalzot, it's a strange language.
It sounds like it should be different then if one of them knows that there's someone else on the premises, but they don't see one another, so...
Okay, that's also possible. In the language of Valyira Echamea bin Misasha Chaver, that'd be a nafkamina. There are a number of nafkaminas, that's one of them.
So it's interesting, one would think the argument would be, focus on the here and now. Worry about the future later.
We'll be talking about that also as well.
That doesn't even...
The Gemara doesn't introduce that, correct. But you'll see in the Achreinim a moment that's exactly part of the discussion. He was in Dorish. He was just limeid. That's a famous klal, quote of the halacha, in Shulchan Aruch, that my life take precedence over the life of my neighbor. So the Gemara presents here a machlokes, and the Gemara, as I said, presents this machlokes, but there are klal. We know that if it's possible to save someone else's life, and I don't do so, that Gemara in Sanhedrin says, I'm Eiman Alav. Namely, Losam al Adam Reecha. It's a clear Gemara that I find Gimel in Sanhedrin. If I see someone drowning, assuming I know how to, I have took a lifesavers course and the like, and I'm capable of saving someone, then I'm free to go ahead and do so. B'dach Klal, that's the din. But here it's my life versus his life, or your life versus his life. I'm not doing anything to harm him. I'm just drinking the water that's in my possession, that's under my thumb, so to speak. So v'cheachicha imach, the pasuk vayikra, that his life is a secondary nature to my life. And with Allah, we pass on Rabbi Akiva, chayecha v'chayecha bercha, chayecha kodmin. So if, assuming that there's only enough medicaments, therapeutic instruments, which in effect would be sufficient for one person, fatzolas chayim, so then my life takes precedence. That's the psak of Rabbi Akiva. So of course the position that seems to be difficult to understand is the position of Ben Petura. What exactly does he think? The Gemara Sanhedrin in the sugya of the Gimel Averis that a person is obligated to give him his life for. The Gemara has several times in Shas, in Sanhedrin, in Ksubis, in Psochim, the Gemara presents a Svara. My Chazis, the Domach Nidach Sumak Tvei, Dilma Domach Dahu Gabra Sumak Tvei, who says that your, the red corpuscles flowing through your veins, they are more significant than the other guy's red corpuscles. So that's a famous Svara that the Gemara quotes, but that's only relevant in a situation where I have to kill him in order to save myself. So if what's involved is my killing him in order to save myself, so there the Gemara says, Asvara, Amai Chazis, Didamid Didach Sumer Tvei, Dilma Damid Abu Gabra Sumer Tvei. There's a set amount of commas here, if you don't mind. So the Gemara presents such a Svara, but here that's not what we're talking about. Here we're talking about both of them are ostensibly in danger of losing their lives. So now the question is, why would I go ahead in these circumstances that if I have water, that one person at least minimally could be saved, why should we save him? Why should we bother? The way the Gemara says, Mutav ben Petura. Mutav sheish shneim yamusu v'yir echad mehem b'misal shechaveh. It's a very difficult svara to understand. What's the purpose of dying? So there are two mahalchim here among Dilei Achreinim. There are many mahalchim, but the two that I want to explore are the Chazanish and the Netziv, that they comment with great length on this position of Ben Petura. On page number 2, you'll see the position of the Chazanish. So before I read it inside, just to give you a little bit of Hakdama to what the Chazanish writes over here, if two people are in captivity and I could ransom myself and save my own life, would Ben Petura say, under those circumstances, I shouldn't do so? If I have no right to ransom myself, so would he be masking in such a situation? Again, you'll ransom yourself, and you'll see your brother die. Maybe the two cases are not comparable. That's what the Chazon Ish here is going to deal with. So the Chazon Ish basically is focused on two famous concepts in halacha. What is the concept of chayishah, and what is the concept of chayilah? There are two different types, two genres of living. One is chayishah, which is only for a temporary, provisional, pretty defined, demarcated time, namely 4 hours, 10 hours, 15 hours, and then there's chayilah, where you give a person a lease on life. You give him the ability to extend his life. We don't exactly know how you define Chai Olam. The Mishnah writes in Yuma and Pehei, it's a famous Mishnah, that if this is what happened during the World Trade Center collapse or assault or attack, however you want to define it. So now you have a gal. You have basically a building that collapsed and you have enormous amount of debris, but you also have potential human lives under that debris. So the Mishnah writes in Pehem and Alf and Yuma, the Gabi Shabbos, and Chaye Shah, the Fakhin Sagal. Even if the possibility of the individuals under this debris are only going to live a short period of time, there'll be a transient, not of any length kind of ability to live, you're supposed to literally undo the entire rubble. And so here we see the Chaye Shah has mashmas, has a mishmat, namely this value to Chaye Shah. So Ben Petura, apparently, holds that even though my Chai Olam is involved, namely that I have the flask, I have the pitcher of water in my hand, but he says that Chai Olam, my Chai Olam, is not Deicha, he's Chai Yishor. He's also entitled to Chai Yishor. He's entitled to whatever the pitcher of water can do for him for a short period of time. And therefore, the fact that I can, by drinking the water, have chayelam, whatever that is, that does not override my favorite verb, doesn't trump his chayisha. That's what the position, lichora, bentur, we'll see in a moment, the chazanish, how he analyzed it, means his chayisha has value, and I can't cut short, even if I do it passively, his chayisha. So that's only when you're extending his chayisha. But let's say in the case I mentioned a moment ago, let's say two people are in captivity, two people are taken captive, and if you ransom yourself, you're not changing his chayisha in any way. He'll live exactly the same amount of time. Then Ben Batura perhaps would hold. Again, that's the question. What would he hold in that situation? That my chayi olam is doche, the other one's chayi sho. My chayi olam is more significant. That's what the Chazon Ish essentially addresses over here. And essentially, he understands Ben Batura in such terminology that I just explained to you. And even if, let's say, the holder of the water is a complete amaretz, let's say he's a total and ignoramus, and the other person is the greatest Talmud Chacham in Klal Yisrael. So the halacha is chayecha kodmin. That's Rabbi Akiva paskins, that we don't take into account. I mean, I've just begun.
Mishnah Arachim.
What?
Mishnah Arachim.
I'm sorry?
Mishnah Arachim.
Yeah, we know. No. You mean Mishnah Horius.
Horius.
Not an Erchin. Anyway, the Sefer Hasidim, so the Sefer Hasidim already has a famous commentary on this. Let's say the other one is a great Talmud Chacham. He's someone who's one of the Gdolei Ador. So then he holds Midas Chasidus that I should save him and not be matzil my own life, because that Talmud Chacham can obviously make a great contribution to Klal Yisrael. That's Rabbi Soloveitchik versus Avishai David. So what's the subject? What's the issue? Abaron Lichtenstein versus Avishai David. Ain't welcome to this topic. Not even an issue. What? Avudna said all the particular situations you can cite, and so these great Talmud Chacham can make a massive contribution to Klal Yisrael, but it's only Midas Chasidus, not Mikra Din. Even here, Rabbi Lachos is masking, not Midas Hadin. I mean, he has many people make me crazy, but Rabbi Lachos is Kol Hayom Kol Halayla. People seem to feel that that's more significant than Dinim and Shulchan Aruch, and Kli Gemaras and Mishnayis. And I'll give you one or two examples that people hock me all day and all night about. Shiduchim, where you have similar names to the Kala, to the Chassan, the father-in-law, the mother-in-law, the father, the mother. So I generally take the following tack, which is not my tack, it's the Igros Meisher. Rav Meisher Feinstein heard from my Rebbe, Rav Nisim Halpert, over 50 years ago. Rav Meisher writes in a tshuva that if these things bother you, then you're in trouble. But if they don't bother you, so these things don't bother me, bichlal, ki who's there? I'm an arch litvak. And Mamela, I'm not concerned at all. Usually, let's be polite as I can. Got to be politically correct. The distaff side is generally more concerned about these kinds of issues than the male gender. So what do? The answer is you use the middle name, you use the English name, use some other name. That's how you take care of the problem, as long as it's not precisely the same. In my mind, it's not quote unquote, it's not la halacha, you have to be concerned about it, ki huze, at all. That's what Rashi generally writes as far as these matters are concerned. So is Mides Chasidus over here, is a Mides Chasidus, Pshul Kabashmo. And however we define what a chassid is, a chassid does whatever the same as the. And there are a number of other Rabbi Chassid comments that people somehow become very, I would say, even possessed to the point where they simply lose their total rationality and feel Rabbi Chassid is, as I said, more important than Dinam Shoronach. So the Chazon Ish, yes, I'm going to read in a few moments, if you don't mind, I'm just giving you like a short summary of the Chazon Ish over here on page number 2, that let's say Reuven has water, and Shimon does not have water. And now we said that Chayecha, the Chayechaber, Chayecha Kodmim. So the Chayim of Reuven take precedence. So now can Shimon go ahead and steal the water of Reuven? Can he go ahead and simply grab it? Because he obviously is in a life-threatening situation, and he wants to preserve his own life, and perhaps that might justify he's in a Pikuach Never situation, even though the other one's also in a Pikuach Never situation. But so what? I'm stronger. So normally the halacha is that you're allowed to steal to save your life. That's a sugya baba kama, famous gemara, lahatzil atzmo b'mamon chavera. So we pass the halacha, you can do so, that you can steal actually in order to save your own life. But in this situation, where there's a dinner, chayecha kodmin, I'm holding on to the water. And that other guy also, so both of us want to survive, both of us want to be able to extend our lives. By stealing the water from him, So I'm killing him. Again, as you pointed out, not directly. It's an indirect kind of murder that's taking place over here. So that's what the Chazadish here also is going to relate to all this issue. By taking the water away from him, I'm killing him derech groma. It's not a direct kind of act of murder, of ritzicha. So here, the halacha seems very clear that you would not be allowed to steal the water from him. That even though, as I said, that a person normally mutal hatzal atzma bam chavero, you'd be allowed to do so. But in this situation, chayecha kodmin, you're literally taking his nefesh, you're involved in murder, even though you're doing it indirectly. Again, according to the Sefer Chasidim, let's say the person gave me the water. Let's say Reuven, who has the water, gives the water to Shimon, wants to be altruistic, wants to be, what do they call it, a good Samaritan. So he goes ahead and gives the water to Shimon, but to take it, chas v'sholom, that would be murder. That'd be an act of ritzicha, but to give it, of course, that you'd be allowed to do. Let me just add to that a little bit before I read it inside. I plan on reading it inside. Al tidagu. Anyway, so next question is, what about family members? Let's say, to give it to my wife, to give it to my children. So there are poskim who claim that mishpacha is like kegufo. There are poskim who say that. So therefore, I'd be allowed levater on my own life in order to save the lives of the members of my family. And this is what the poskim say that. And there's even another situation, let's say, where you're going to save an entire tzibur. So are you allowed to go ahead and be mevater on your life? That we have gemaras already in Shas, a famous sugi in Tainis, with Puppis and Lulianus. They actually gave up their life to save an entire community, save an entire tzibur. And the gemara praises them. There are values that these two mevater on their lives in the city of Lud, if I'm not mistaken. The city of Lud actually was saved by these two individuals who literally gave up their lives. The Roman claimed there were people from Lud who committed a crime, and even though it wasn't true, so these two gave up their lives to save a whole city. The Gemara says that even Malchei Ashores lo yicholum lamno b'mchitzasa, that they're such a high level, such a high madrega, even Malchei Ashores cannot stand in there. So now let's take a look in there, and the Chazon Ish here on page number 2. I'll just read, more or less, I underlined everything. Mutashish Nushneim. Mode ben Ptura, behuva rabba bashevi, if you and your Rebbe are taken captivity. Shepode satsmo, then a chai behidu rabba, welcome to Kuach Nevish. The Gemara and Huria stuff you give him. Locha time is ben Ptura. So what's his rationale? The cave in the Eshchai Yishol Shneim, im Yishtu Shneim, Yichil of Yishol. If both of them are going to share the water, both of them will have Chai Yishol. The time will you and Pehed, Yal Chai Yishol, Mfakim Sagal, the Mishnah I mentioned to you earlier. That's on Shabbos, the Mishnah is talking about. In Kain, Ein Chayolim Shalom, Doch Chayisho Shachavero. The Avgad, the Mesakdin Chayisho, Bishvil Sovik, Atzol Chayolim, Kinamina of the Zorach of Zayin of the Bay, Zorach Shaini, Shavishnaim Shab, Muskus Chayolim, Kolachemem Shayishte, Yichli Chayolim. And so he goes on to say that the Ovd, the Nihid, the Ovdim, I'm reading the underlying part, the Nihid, the Ovdim, the Sovik, Hefzid Chayisho, Mishum Sovik, Atzol, Mikomakom, that's the position of Ben Petura. His Chayisho is not overridden by my Chayolim. That's a position of Ben Petura. It seems to be not a simple position at all. Rabbi Kiva Sova, no. Mishum Chayecha Kodmim, Nifta Mehatzalas Chayisho Shachaberim. My life takes precedence. So the fact that I could provide him with Chayisho, but I have Chayolim, and that's what the Pasuk says. Namely, Chayecha Chayechaber, Chayecha Kodmim, Binire. As I just told you a moment ago, is he allowed, Shimon, can he steal the water from Reuven, who has the water? Chas v'sholom. So that's called an act of gezel, or an act of murder, even though you did it indirectly, but it's an act of murder. Someone has water, and they're two thirsty people. Now we told the plukta the leben petura nosu mishneim biyamus mishneim. The avim yitend lechad yischayel lachlim chaveru. The Rabbi Kiva yitend lechad sheyirtzem. The avim gav the lanosin lekam shum chayecha kolmen. Mikom akom kem shezesh yiske yatzar atzmo kedin. Vashrei anosin yitend lo. A third person has water, and now there are two tzmeim. There are two individuals who are thirsty. Says the Chazon Ish. That's also the same machlokas.
We're not passing like the mission harias, or
I'm coming to
that later. The role on equal footing.
And the agil is a od shah. There.
Okay.
I hope before 11 o'clock. Okay. So benireh, The chayav litein le'echod. Kevin the shul chayach akom amator the chayolim shul akom chayshos shoshnayim. Gam anosin tzarich lishtal letzvei batzos chayolim. The nosin, the third party who's giving out the water, so he has to be concerned about chayolim. V'imecham em kol mechaber yes your kasha koyin v'inoch the stan huryus v'gimel akredim zolche. V'im shneim shabim nosin lemisha yitzer. That's what the Mishnah writes in huryus. I'll get to that later on. Okay, so basically the way he's explained the position, namely the Chazon Ish, is that the Ventura is based on the fact that my concern does not have to be for his Chayishah, for the other party, but rather for my own Chayolam. But Ben Petura obviously disagrees. That's Rabbi Kiva's position. And Ventura holds not like that. He said no. I have to be concerned about his chayisho. So my chayolim is nidche because of his chayisho. That's what the Chazadish explains, the position of Ben Petura. On page number 3, the Netziv, also another very, very famous piece in the Pashas Re'ei, in the She'iltas, in his parish on the She'iltas. By the way, just derech agav, if you give up your life to save the life of a doctor, who's obviously needed by the tzibur, let's say in the case of an epidemic, or something along those lines, whether it's corona, or some other situation of that enormity. So in essence, you're saving other people's lives as well. Not just you're saving the life of that doctor, you're saving the life of a person who's in a position to save many other people's lives. Okay, whatever the case is that...
That was the issue with the gadol.
What was that?
That's the issue with the gadol.
Okay, so the Netziv here, on page number 3, so I'll just, again, before I read the Netziv inside, just to give you a little bit of a preamble. So, again, he's concerned about the position of Ben Petura. What's the basis for his position, which seems to be almost inexplicable? Why is it, Al-Yira Echamem and Yisrael Shechavera, Mutav Shashen Yamusu, better both of them should die? Because somehow you cannot be Mekai in the Pasuk of Chicha Imach, so that automatically tells you that somehow you have to put yourself in a situation of sakona, and both of you are in a sakona, but better than both of you die. Vayira echamem b'misasas chavera. Very striking. So he says in the Siv the following. Let's say they both drink. So now they'll give us, let's say, another day, another 2 days. We're talking about a delay as far as our ability to live. And maybe, says in the Siv, maybe in a day or two, we'll find an oasis of water. Or somehow we'll find access to water. And even though one might argue that maybe this falls into the category of Insan Chalanes, we're in a desert. That's a little, I'm going to dramatize the situation, even though the way the Gemara presents it, it just says, Shnayim Shayim Halchim Baderach. We don't know what the circumstances are at all. But let's assume we're in a desert, in a parched area, in the middle of the Sahara Desert, no access to anything whatsoever, no technology with us. So again, why is this not together of Nisomcha HaNes? The answer is because there, the Chatzchidin has to be Somcha HaNes. Or a person has to do whatever his shtadlus is necessary, and that's another issue which I'm not getting into that discussion. But here, the Chayolam, my Chayolam is not Doche, he's Chayishah. Because by giving him a Chayishah, so there's a Sofek, says the Netziv, maybe he'll also achieve Chayolam. As a result of sharing the water with him, maybe he'll also eventually come to Chayolam, not just myself. And comes up in Kiva and says, no, chayecha, v'chayechavecha, chayecha kodmim. And the Tzivi says, basically, differently than the Chazon Ish. He says that, according to Ben Petura, could be he may have chayolam as well. And therefore, my chayolam is not doche, he's chayisho. L'may nafkimina, there's another nafkimina between the position of the Tzivi, the position of the Chazon Ish. You mentioned one of them before, Rabbi Feinberg. But the Chazon Ish doesn't talk about the possibility of the other individual achieving Chai Olam. It's the case where there's no chance, or I know Bevados, that he'll never have Chai Olam. How exactly one knows that Bevados, I don't know. But let's assume one does. So that's enough to me. No, it's in the Tziv of the Chazon Ish. Going to Chazon Ish doesn't make a difference. Going to the Tziv, only if he may also have Chai Olam, then Ben Petura, again, under those circumstances. So does Ben Petura say, that's a subtle difference between the position of the Chazon Ish and the Netziv. And those are there situations where, on the other way, where Rabbi Akiva passed would be masked with Ben Petura. Maybe he would agree with Ben Petura that you're mechuyah to be meshateh of him b'mayim. I'll give you one or two examples. This also emerges here from the Netziv. Let's say that you know that help is on the way. You have some way of contacting people. You have technology with you. So you know in a day or so, you'll be able to, Mitzvah Hashem, get assistance, and both of you will be able to have a lease on life. Then there's no question, Lich Ora, Rabbi Akiva would be maskim, that once that is extant, once that possibility is an operative possibility, so then Lechura, Yemechuya, to give him water until you come to the point where there's going to be assistance where they'll be provided. Or number two, let's say I only have a couple of drops of water. I don't have a massive amount of water. I only have drops of water. But however, as a result of giving drops of water, I can provide him also with a bit of a lease on life, maybe another 2, 3 hours or four, whatever it may be, whatever the drops of water will be able to do to accomplish. So it could be under those circumstances, you mechuyev to go ahead and give him the drops of water. Although if you drink the drops, you'll live for another 4 or 5 hours. And if you decide to go and provide him with a number of drops, each one of you will live 1 hour or 2 hours, whatever it may be. So it could be that maybe here, Rabbi Akiva, again, that's the question. What will he say? He means, does my extra hour take precedence over his or not? That's the shaila. He said, in those circumstances, that's exactly what that Gemara says. So here, as I said, take a look at the Netziv now on page number 3. So he writes the following. More or less, it's a slight nuanced difference between him and the Chazon Ish. He says, on the underlying section, Shnayim Shoyim Hochem Bamidbar. So notice he has the Girsa Bamidbar. We don't have that. But the Girsa we have is Baderech.
It's Amale.
I'm sorry?
It's Amale of Yakiva, not Chana.
Yeah. Any Chanami. So, Bein Biyad Echad Alkid Neshomayim, Shoseo Echad Magil Yishim, Shosim Maso Shnayim Shneim Mesim, Darsh Bram Tura, Yishu Shneim Yamusu Shneim Vachay Echi Chimach. Only have a Kiva Vachay Echi Chimach, Hayach Echad Vachay Echad Vachay Echad Vachay Echad Vachay Echad maybe in the course of giving him a lease on life. So you'll also, both of you, will be able to come to some sort of hatzolah. If you don't provide him, he's going to die of thirst. Okay, so that's the machlokes in the Chazon Ish and the position of the Netziv.
What's the machlok difference between the Netziv and the
Chazon? I told you, it's very nuanced, the distinction between them. One is the Netziv seems to indicate that maybe you'll come to some sort of Hatzala situation. And that's why Ben Petura says that if I can give the other person a lease on life, because maybe we'll get to some Hatzala, so that's sufficient for Ben Petura to be Meshatev him with the water. Chazon Ish does not write like that. Lashon of Chazon Ish, again, if you saw in his language, that he is focused not so much on that, but he's focused on the issue, what happens in the conflict in Chai Yisho and Chai Yisho. Which one takes precedence? So the Rabbi Akiva says, Pashe, my Chai Olam overrides, it's Chai Shah. Mashenk, according to Ben Petura, he says no. He says that his Chai Shah, I have to reckon with, I have to be mitchashev with his Chai Shah, and I can't simply decide because of my Chai Olam that should trump his Chai Shah.
And there's nafkamina between.
I mentioned a number of nafkaminas. One that Rabbi Farnby mentioned earlier, and because the Lashon of the Gemari is Shal Yira. But the nafkamina would be, let's say, in the case where there's no chance, I know bivados, that I'll never have chayel. So according to Chazon Ish, it doesn't make a difference. But in the Netziv, only if he may also have chayel, Does Bem Tura say V'chechei Imach? There's a subtle kind of difference.
The Chumash only Bem Tura, it's not in
the Chumash. That's what I think. So now there's a Marsha I saw on this sugya, on the next page. So the Marsha points out, and this is again the Gemara doesn't use this situation. They both in a Mashutfin in the water. So the Marsha says, then they both have to share the water, even if the water is in the physical possession of one of the two people. But in Bailus, in terms of legal ownership, both of them have legal ownership. So the halacha is he's a gazan if he drinks the other person's share. And the Rabbi Kiva would agree in this case to Ben Ptura, where they're both shutfim, where they both have their equal Bailus on the water. So in the case of, let's say, the case of triage, where you have, let's say, three people, and let's say, and this is what I hear from emergency room physicians. I have several Talmidim who are emergency room physicians. This is what they do. I have a chaver. That's what he did most of his life. He's now retired. He retired many years ago. He sits and learns here in Eretz Yisrael. And I said, work here in Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, but the he told me I should retire. He retired 7-8 years ago. Anyway, so the third side, I said, I also plan on retiring. Rabbi Levinson told me I should retire. He said, I yield the tishim. Okay, so I'm asking for that. Hope the bracha comes to fruition. Anyway, so the third side, which is the Marshal says, and we'll get to that in just using the example, let's say people come to, it takes someone by helicopter, someone is in an emergency situation, and let's say there are three people involved, and the Tzad HaShlishi comes in the helicopter, and he's also the one who owns the water. Now he sees two other people that obviously are dying of starvation, are dying because they don't have any water, they have nothing to drink. And he only has enough water for one person, for one of them. Should he give to both of the two people, and both of them should die? Or, in effect, should he decide, I'm going to pick one of the two, and he's the one I'm going to give the water to, so he'll be able to have at least some life. According to Ben Petura, the Chorish should give both of them. According to Rabbi Akiva, what do you do? Because here, there's no Chayech HaKovin. Because the third party who has the water, his life is not Sakana. There's no issue of sikun for that third individual. So now the question is, if I don't have a Chayech HaKovin situation, Rabbi Akiva Lichora should agree to Ben Petura. The only argument Ben Petura when I have, as I mentioned, what the Gemara and the Taskanim have. So so perhaps maybe you could suggest, even though I'm not telling you this is a suggestion, leave the water there and let him call the Olam Gavah. Let him fight over it. Let him decide exactly who's going to be the Bailin of the water. Or follow Ben Petura and give half the water to each. So this is the Machlok
Dutin.
Well,
it's going to be the reverse. Ben Petura requires him
and Echonami, to water. Very good.
And
does not.
You have to share.
Maskin. Could be the reverse. Not so pasha to me at all. I hear both studim in this matter. So this seems to be a machlokes also. I saw actually the Achronim, they quote the Chiddush Harim. It's not one of my svarim that I look at. It's Chatoyan in Masker Hayom. It was a great giant, but in general I don't look at many Achronim. It's the understatement of the year. I have enough problems with Gemara in Texas. It's just understanding the text on the page itself. I saw the Chiddush Harim says that since where Chayat HaKom does not apply, now Rabbi Kiva will be masked to Ben Petura. That's what he assumes as a davar pashut, and therefore he should be meshatef the other person with the water. And the Chazon Ish is also found here on page 2. Actually, Chazon Ish says v'nirem yeshlo mayim ulafanav shnei tzmeim. He says also this is the machlok Ben Petura and Rabbi Kiva. That again, giving them both and letting them die. Because even if you give the water to one of them, he's not mechuyev to share with his friend. Because Rabbi Kiva, you give it to whoever you wish to. Anyway, but he says over here, "Menira the chay liting leechad, the b'shul chay chayechad kol mim chay olam is more chashan than chay shah." So you have to save chay olam. So you choose. The question is, how do you choose? So now that's what the Chazon Ish refers to the Gemara that you mentioned, Dr. Mazenkis, on the next page. The Gemara, this is a Mishnah in Hurius, is a famous Mishnayis that the Mishnayis give us. Dine Kedima. I mean, the Mishnah is speaking about priorities when it comes to saving lives. So here, it's a mind-boggling Mishnah. This Mishnah has always, to my mind, very mystifying. There's a Seder of Kedimos in saving lives. Everything else being equal, let's say, the Bel Tamid HaChachamim. So now we'll start, one of them is a Kain. So of course, you have a Kain, you have a Dine Mitzvah Seder Araisa of a Kidashto, the Chol Davar Shevikdusha. If both of them are equal, let's say the two Kohanim or two Yisraelim, so obviously you can give to whomever you wish to. So, I mean, the Chora, you can also do a lottery. Why don't you just go ahead and do a lottery and let whomever emerges from this lottery, what they say, tovaf ha-goyol. And again, as I said, there's no halachic criterion. So again, according to the Chiddush Arim I mentioned a moment ago, I'll read this Mishnah in a second. Imein chayecha kodmim, then you share the water. According to Chazon Ish, chayolim is always doicha chayisho. That's for sure. That's going to be an overriding factor. So now the Mishnah here on page 5, we'll read both Mishnayos. Again, by the way, why don't people do triage? Because of this Mishnah. They're always citing this Mishnah. Doctors who are Talmidei Chachamim, and them are, Baruch Hashem. So they don't do triage because of this Mishnah, but we can only read the Mishnah and try to understand what the Seder Kedima is. So the Mishnah begins, the first Mishnah on Yud Gimel. Ha'ish kodem le'isha la'chayas. U'lashav aveda. That, again, I like to interpret this Mishnah because many women have approached me over the last 50 years regarding this Mishnah, and they asked me, how do you understand the statement that the Mishnah is saying, Ha'ish kodem le'isha la'chayas? Usually I answer,
the
merchant's b'no slavcha,
this was their time.
Okay, we say that. B'no slavcha, again, that's a more specific issue in terms of Yerusha.
But they don't quote this Mishnah.
And Hanami, of course. What else is there to quote? This is the only Mishnah to be quoted. So it's not a value judgment on the man as opposed to the woman. And that's what I heard Rabbi Soloveitchik. I also asked a question to our Rebbe, Rabbi Lichtenstein, regarding the brachas, the brachas hashachas, shalos al isha. I heard him discuss this in 1967. I came out one of the, in his hashkofa shiur, whatever you want to call them, one year was on the nature of dogma in halacha. That took 1 year to handle. Dogma in halacha. We went to every philosopher that ever discussed this issue, and then many rishonim, like Zohar Achrenim, on the issue of dogma. But the next year, he actually did Rosh Hashanah. And the year after, besides doing Rosh Hashanah, then he discussed questions that we had, and among them were Shalos and Isha and all the Gersos and Tesepta and Menaches and Ramam. Different. So it basically, he understood this mission as not a value judgment on the man as opposed to a woman. The issue is, what are mitzvahs? A man could do 613 mitzvahs. A woman, Mishnah Kedushin Chavtes, is part of mitzvah Sei Shazman Groma. And that's what he means also, Shalos and Isha. Trust me, even then, that didn't sit well with the, shall we say, the student body who was sitting there. We found that to be apologetics. And so he, Avaron said, sometimes apologetics have some value. So whatever the case is, so two people are drowning. How do you choose which one to save? There's a famous moral dilemma, an ethical dilemma. And if the halacha would say the woman to express herself of the man, you need guidelines. What do you do? So we have innate feelings. There should be no distinction between men, women, children, adults. Doesn't make a difference. We're not living, even though all the university presidents that I heard speak, whether it's the two that were let go, they talked about contextual ethics. The issue is one of context. And I already know about this issue from the days of Avraham Lichtenstein. He spoke about, there's a fellow named, I remember his name, Fletcher. He introduced in the hospitals contextual ethics. A guy, 75 years old, comes to the hospital. Another one, 35, 40 years old, comes to the hospital. What's the issue? The issue is, namely, context. That the context would dictate this guy doesn't have a long lease of life, the other one does. Clearly, you treat the second, not the first. That's contextual ethics. That's what Fletcher, that's very popular today in hospitals all over the world, including in Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately. I know my brother was a rav in the hospital in Chadera, Hillel Yaffe, for 35, almost 40 years, and that's how they operate over there. It's a secular Chiloni hospital in Gambri. Contextual ethics dictates how a person should. And my brother told me that he explained to them, that's not the halachic position on these matters. We have a concept called an absolute system of ethics. I'll give you the example. This is the example that I like to use. I don't know how many of you have read this. Eichmann in Jerusalem. Some of you may remember the Eichmann trials. I remember it quite well. And so Eichmann in Jerusalem was written by a German sociologist, Hannah Arendt. She wrote a book defending Eichmann. Why? That's the context. The context in Germany is you follow the Führer. You are obedient. You are submissive. I told you, not all of you, but maybe one or two may have heard this, I got married, so I more makvit to wear the talus over my head, but I don't wear it the entire way like the Bach. I wear it at Baruch Hu, Yishtabach, then I take it off. I put it on again, Mishmanasa. That's how my father was like. That's what I do. That's a Taz in Shulchan Aruch as well. That's how Salvechi was like. I'm not as shrum as all the people around me. Keep the talus over the head. I'm not saying anything against it. Chas v'shalom. That's a bach. But you do it from beginning to end. Fine. I'm not against it. So I come to Breuer's, and I was davening there. I put the talis over my head. Little did I know, nobody there wears the talis over their head except for the rabbina, Rabbina Breuer. That's how he was at that time presiding. It was about 51 years ago, presiding in Breuer's, Washington Heights. I put the talis over my head. In about 5 seconds, I was picked up by three Gesunter, Bulvan, Hackfleisch Germans. I can only describe them in that fashion. They literally picked me up. Perhaps I was lighter then than I am today. And they more or less carried me out the shul. I didn't know what was happening. Why? And then in German, they explained to me, I'm not proficient in German, I'm sorry, but in German they explained to me because only the rabbina wears the talis over his head in the shul. This is the meaning of Mokom, context. And this is the context that you're in. You have to follow context. Hakol Kiminag Hamedina. Kiminag Hamokom. Anyway, we do not subscribe to Hannah Arendt's approach. Her approach was that she defended Eichmann. He was simply following orders. We have an absolute system of ethics that's relevant. The days of Adam Marishon, and in the year 2024, Tavshin Pei Dalet, there's no distinction whatsoever between then and somewhere in the middle. And now, that's our system, absolute system of ethics. So again, the question now is that we may have certain innate feelings, there should be no distinctions, but the halacha sometimes has to find subtle differences. Again, I'm not, this was all Rav Aaron Lichtenstein in 1968. That's where we had a lengthy discussion on these topics, and he felt the need to try to explain to us as best he could. Kind of, yeah, he wasn't too successful, but whatever the case is, he certainly tried his darndest to explain these Mishnayos and Huryos. So now we don't say that Chas v'Shalom, that a male has more value in the eyes of Hashem after 120 years than a woman, and a woman who's an Ovedet Hashem in her own way, unquestionably she has the same exact value. So we can't make such distinctions in terms of, as I said, value, axiological value. There's no distinction between a man and a woman whatsoever. So what does it depend on then? So obviously that's what the Mishnah is trying to figure out. The Mishnah here is trying to define, trying to delineate, maybe some criteria do exist regarding this matter. And so the Mishnah here says, Ha'isha kodemes le'ish, and it tells you regarding what? Liksus, ulohosin beis hasheli. Means if you have a situation where there's an issue of clothing, so then a woman, no question about it, that her sense of dignity, which obviously clothing do provide, there's even an Issa, the Gemara says in Brachas, of being Mavazah B'godim, that's why David HaMelech was punished, V'HaMelech David Zokim Baba Yomim, V'Chasu Bab Godim V'lo Yichamlo, the Psukim Melachim Aleph, and he was punished because he cut off the Knaf HaBegat Shel Shol HaMelech, and therefore, towards the end of his life, even layers of clothing were not able to somehow give him the kind of warmth that he requested, that he desired, that he needed. Health-wise, that's how many Rishonim understand that. So a woman comes first when it comes to Ksus, and names of both of them are without clothing, so there's no question that the boshet of a woman, her humiliation quotient is much greater than that of a male counterpart. And also, the Hotzim Beis HaShevi comes to Pinyan Shuyim. So there, it's more likely that she'll be sexually abused, chas v'sholom, than a male counterpart. And therefore, the halacha is that isha kodem adish. She precedes, actually, her male counterpart. Except the Mishnah says, bizman sheshneim omnim b'kalkola, ha'ish kodem l'isha. The last line that the Mishnah writes over here, if both of them will be sexually abused, let's say a man in a homosexual relationship, that's called a to'eva by the Torah, and worse than a woman who will be in a heterosexual relationship, you're answering the man before a woman, the to'eva and busha is greater of homosexuality than it is in a situation of a heterosexual relationship that a woman has. Of course, as I said, you're drawing at straws. It's very, very difficult to understand these Mishnayos. At the end of the day, it's all gzeras hakosev. That's what our Soloveitchik used to say. It's gzeras hakosev. And once it's gzeras hakosev, then you're thrust into an impossible situation. But I heard from my Rebbe many times, we have to understand gzeras hakosev as well. It has to have some rationality. You can't simply say gzeras hakosev. The Gemara in Daf Yigimel over here discusses the Gemara's Takasha. Take a look at the beginning of the Gemara. The Gemara talks about Mashuach Melchama. Kailu Mizgan. Omer Avino, Kitanya. Talking about Skan Kohen Godel. Kitanya, Ahi, Lachayoso. You save the Mashuach Melchama before you save the Skan. So if it's a question of tumba, let's say you find a dead body, you have to bury him, so better that you should become, the Mashruach Mechamah should become Tamei, and the Sgan should not become Tamei. Again, the Kedusha of the Mashruach Mechamah is not the same as the Kedusha of the Sgan. But it's a question of saving a life, then you save the Mashruach Mechamah. Rashi says, why? Because the Tzibur needs him before the Sgan. Doesn't make a difference between Mechamah's Mitzvah and Mechamah's Rishus. There's no distinction between the two. So, again, contribution of Mashruach Mechamah to Klal Yisrael is greater. And that's the basic guideline. And here we go on, actually, to discuss Melech Yisrael, Shemes. Again, let's say if Echem Idoli Ador, let's say Agoyin HaMashiach Feinstein, Agoyin HaMashiach Soloveitchik. So then we have the principle that Chacham Adif, he's more chashuv than a Melech, Ish Kadam LeIsha, and age makes no difference. Ramesh has a tshuva where he talks about an 18-year-old and an 80-year-old who come to the emergency room of a hospital. So now age is not a factor at all. An 80-year-old person can also live another 5 years or 10 years or perhaps many more years in Mitzvah Hashem. Or an 80-year-old doesn't make a difference whatsoever. An 80-year-old is going to become a Chuyva Mitzvah eventually. Right now he's a Kadam. But in Chuyva Mitzvah, that's a famous tshuva of that. For that matter, let's say a man putting on tefillin, that's a very significant contribution to Klal Yisrael. Obviously, it's more metaphysical than it is in a physical kind of way, but it elevates the level of Kedusha in the world and opens up the pipelines for Bracha. That's what they tell me. I'm not exactly, this is not my area, Bechlal, but whatever the case is, no doubt it's true. And the problem is we don't realize the ramifications of every mitzvah that we do and don't do Chas V'Shalom. That's the whole Sefer Nefesh HaChayim. He's based on this Yisod. If you ever learn Nefesh HaChayim, which is an unbelievable Sefer, there are two ways of learning it. One is a literature way, which is what I did, and the other is a more Kabbalistic kind of approach, which I'm not qualified to do Bechlal. So anyway, that's a Sefer that's Kedai to do. There's a fellow in my former shul, the MTL, you know what I'm talking about, I sat with him for 10 years, and then he wanted that I should write a Haskama. I said, I'm not writing any Haskamas. Half of what we did together, I'm not sure I fully understand. I did understand the Shara Tfila, that was good, and the Shara Talmud Torah was even better. But anything beyond that is already beyond my scale. And okay, whatever the case is, the Mishnah, the next Mishnah, has Kohen Kodem LeLevi, Levi LeYisrael, Yisrael LeMamzer, Mamzer LeNosin, Nosin LeGer, Ger LeEvin Meshuchrar, Emesai b'zman shekulam shovim. Avlam hoya mamza tam b'chochem b'koyin gol al ha'aretz. Mamza tam b'chochem k'yidem b'koyin gol al ha'aretz. By the way, a mamza is not a child born out of wedlock, but a mamza is only a child born from either an adulterous relationship or an incestuous relationship. That's what we pass in Halacha, the Gemara's Machlokes, in Yevamos, elsewhere. But we pass in if it's incestuous or adulterous, then you have a situation of a mamza. What we call an illegitimate child. So a mamza is chayav mitzvah, it's like Yisrael. A mamzer can only not enter the Kal Hashem. We have a mamzer the Kal Hashem. That's what the Torah says. That's the only item that really he's, we cannot have him. A nosin is, give Bachogas Rashi Tesin Ksubis. But generally we assume it's one of the Givonim that came to Yeshua and they were Megayer under false pretenses. They did it in a shadowy kind of way. A Ger is a Ger Tzedek. But the Gemara is saying here, again, a mamzer comes from Avraham Avinu. Ger does not. So even though Ger has all the other mitzvahs, a nosin is completely a Jew. So again, you have to sort of make all these chilukim that the Mishnah writes over here between a different individuals. Again, I don't really have good explanations for everything. Many of these things, in my mind, it's in the gather of chuk. It's in the gather of chukim. All these, most of these items and. Yeah, the question is, what about the child of a ger, the child of a geret? They have a status of like a Yisrael or not? It's not so posh in Tarachin. I looked into that also. But this idea of Imam Zatam B'chochem Kedem Kagol Amoretz, that's a very fundamental principle. Chazal, the Gemara derives from Pesukim. It says here, Yikara hi mipninim, v'chol chafatzer l'ishuba. The same Gemara on the bottom of the Omid, 10 lines up from the bottom of the page approximately. That Torah knowledge is more valuable to Klal Yisrael than the Kohen Gadol who entered the Beis Hamikdash lifnai lifnim. Last night I spoke at an Erisin, so I said over that they got all excited over there. I said the Kedusha of the Beis Hamikdash is not based on what we think it's based on. Namely, of course it's based on Hashras HaShchina, no doubt. Also the Mikdash v'shachanti v'seichan. But the primary basis for the Kedusha of the Mikdash is the Aron HaKodesh, which is the most important kli in the Migdash, and the Sefer Torah, that the Luchos, that are Ksuvim, the Etzba Elohim, and that's Pshat the Gemara and Brachas, I said, that Ein LaKodesh Baruch Hu Ba'Lava, the Alam Shalach Bilvad. I have Rabbeim, I don't think even you saw this, but I'm referred to Maran Harav Zatzal. I heard from very good sources, and this is before my days, that when the Rav Soloveitchik came to America, so there were times where he was locked up, preparing a shir. He would prepare a shir for 6-7 days, wouldn't daven b'tzibur. B'chlal, did not appear b'tzibur b'chlal. At all. No kriyas ha-teira, b'tzachem v'tzibur, although the briskas hold not like that, so they hold tzachem v'tzibur, against the Mishnah Megillah, tzachamban, the whole discussion. Anyway, and I asked Abba Al-Khassin, he's the only one I can ask these questions to. Is that true? That Yeshiver did not daven b'tzibur? So he told me, yes, it is true. But there came a certain point in time, he's the Rav in Boston, people say, where is he? He never comes to, he's the Rav HaKoel of the city of Boston, and doesn't come to my mind, he's the Daven B'chlal. Where is he? Because the Chassidim would say, Lo L'malam Yizeh. He somehow went in a different sphere, in a different realm. But Rav Lichtenstein told me, yes, because he said to me that Torah is more important. Torah trumps Tefillah B'tzibur. Kach shamati mipiv kotsho. That's what Rav Soloveitchik held. And I have many rights for this, and I don't know if you agree with me, don't agree with me.
But
that Ramo says, Ramon Shalom. Ramo says it's awesome. You shouldn't do it. Why? Shema Yagilu Am Yaretz. They see that Rabbanim don't come to Davin. And right away they said, they don't come to Davin. What am I doing here? I have no reason to be here as well. That's why Mishnah Berurah said that you should not learn during davening. People learn usually dafyemi during davening, chazar shashas. I'm talking about so also, I never saw the Rav, a Rabbi Lichasin, learn anything chazar shashas. I saw them countless times, umpteen times. Never. Both of them follow from the siddur. I know what you saw in the yeshiva. I saw the same. Both of them follow from the siddur, chazar shashas. Mila b'mila, word for word. That's what they did. It's also behechlet. There's no heter whatsoever. And what the reason? Again, Mishnah Berurah is the same reasoning as the Ramos says regarding the issue that I mentioned about not davening b'tzibur. Shemi agilu am ha'aretz liru dvarim ka'elu, and they themselves will be nimna from davening b'tzibur. But the Gemara says that in Brachis, the whole sugya, that Ravami, Ravasi, and the Gdoli Yisrael, they were madif, they preferred to learn and to daven where they learned. Bein Amudim, the Gemara in Brachis, so there's a famous Gemara in Seita. The Gemara speaks of Avam Ravasi. The Gemara says in Gittin, the Sugya Kresatera, Avam Ravasi were Migdolei Kohanim Be'eretz Yisrael. So they used to daven where they learned. Apparently they were daven in some massive Beis Medrash, all the way in the corner. And they would say, Hashem Elokein Ve'amcho Yisrael came, and they have to be Eker Raglein, that's the Gemara in Seita, Mechamin Shechonach, in order to Duchen. They never got to Duchen it on time. Because by the time they got to Duchen it, it was over. What in heaven's name is going on here? The mitzvah say daraisa. Several mitzvahs that are involved in the Birchas Kohanim. The answer is they felt that Talmud Torah trumped. If I use the lashon, I love that language, that verb. That Talmud Torah trumped Tefillah, and apparently even trumped Birchas Kohanim. So that's what I discussed with Hagoyna Hatzadik Abayim Lichasin Tzatzal, probably in the late 60s. I discussed this issue with him. I used to ask him a lot of questions on what the Rav does. He told to me, maybe you should be concerned a little bit about what you do. So just observing everyone else, see what they do. I didn't have any time to do it myself. Things, I just observe everyone else. I stalked many Gdolei Yisrael. That's what I did in my days. And Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Avraham Lichtenstein also was among the objects of my stalking. Anyway, I'm just being honest. So, and I sat in the Shia for many years, not just there, but also here in Eretz Yisrael. And so I had an opportunity, Baruch Hashem, to connect with him in a very profound kind of way. It was why I wrote about both of them. And I felt I was justified to write what I did. Someone just told me, someone in Chutzpah, Menachem Ganak, just called me up just 2 days ago. Rabbi Ganak, although you called me up, he said, I don't understand. How come you published that Sefer without the OU? How come you didn't ask me to publish the Warfare Radio to Gedolei Yisrael? And so he said to me, someone just gave it to me, Cholamoy Pesach, he apparently got a copy of it. Why didn't you call the OU? We would have been glad to publish that Sefer. We would have done it B'Simcha Rabbah. Okay, I said, I decided I have enough problems in my life. I don't need any more. Plus, it's long distance. Much easier to do it locally. And that's what I did. So he tells me he read 4 chapters. But then, before he read the rest of the book, he read the rest of the book already several times, he told me. And the four chapters you read, first about Rav Soloveitchik, number two, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, number three, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, and number four, he was very close to Rav Nisim Alper Zatzal. He told me that chapter that I wrote about him is Tchias HaMesim. No one knows whom he is, and you revived him. Rabbi Shechter told me the same thing. And anyway, so, okay, I felt good. It was gave me a little chizuk in my life. I do want to do good things. Anyway, so then he told me I should publish more. But I told him I don't write in English. I only did it when I was laid up for an extended period of time. I had a leg infection in 4 months, so Shalom Brosnan convinced me that's what I should do. I should write something of that sort. So I did, but generally speaking, I write in Hebrew. I just put out, for those who may have seen it, the two volumes on Chumash, Shai Lov Yal HaTorah, which I also think have a lot of nice things in there. Also, I quote from my Rabbeinu, but a lot of it is my own drushes that I gave over the course of years. Okay, back to square one. We have today women who are Talmidei Chachamim. I don't know if you don't travel in those circles. I travel in every circle imaginable. And I have students who are Daf Yomi people, who are Bikiyim B'Shas. I'm talking about women. So it goes back 40 years ago in my life. There are several women, four or five women, who can say they'll call me up to ask me Shailos HaShas. I'm not worthy to answer Shailos HaShas. I should have them call all of you. You learn Daf Yomi, all of you. In other words, maybe I'll give them, if you give me permission, I'll tell them to call all of you with your numbers, because each time I have to go start researching and learning the Gemara, which I'm not a Daf Yomi person, b'chlal, but there are women like that. So now, what's her status? Namely, Mamzer Talmid Chacham. Does that apply to a woman as well? Ma omer kvodo?
I'd ask the Rav.
What was that?
I'd ask the Rav.
Yes.
I'd send them to the Rav.
Anyway, so Pashim Shad, she should have the same status. I don't see why there should be a distinction. It's true she's exempt from Talmud Torah technically. But Rav Soloveitchik, I think I told you this also. You weren't there probably. But anyway, so in Shia, he once said, what exactly are the parameters of Talmud Torah for women? And so he said the following. Chaim, of course, Ashkenazi women, Chaim and Sasheshim Mangrova with a bracha, not like the Sfadim or all that Rav Avadia, that they'll self implode, Chashashom, they make a bracha. I mean, Sasheshim Mangrova. No, next, Yeredeya. They're generally in the kitchens, maybe, I don't know, less today, more today, I don't really know what the situation is. So they got to know Taroves and Basra Vacholov, otherwise, what happens if they have a Shaila? So you'll say they'll ask a Rav. So my mother, Ashkenazim, used to ask on a weekly basis, she spoke to Rabbi Feinstein, Rabbi Henkin and Rabbi Shabik, on a weekly basis, all three of them, in Yiddish. I grew up in Yiddish. That's my mamalosha. So anyway, so that's what she did, but I don't think they're accessible today. I don't think anyone's accessible today. That's what I'm beginning to come to the conclusion, except for myself, because I made myself accessible. That's why I'm accessible. Other than that, most Rabbanim are not accessible. Half hour in the morning, half hour at night. Rabbi Nissen Alper told me, if you become a Rav, none of this half hour in the morning, half hour at night business. None of that. Be accessible, be available, and I am. Pretty much available, except when, let's say I'm in Chutzlars, which is going to be the next 2 weeks, so I won't be so readily available. I have to run after people's pocketbooks. What can I do? That's the job of Rosh Shiva, the Gehiz Ksafim. But going back to this issue, so there are women today who are incredibly knowledgeable. And Lechura, Lefiyani Yizdaiti, so the Rav said, okay, so Hachayim, they're Mechuyivin. They have to know. You're there, they have to know. Ebenezer, of course they have to know. It's all about women, as he said. He said, what's left? Choshen Mishpat said. Here's what the Rav said. I'm quoting him. Maybe I don't allow to do so. I think he meant it honestly. He always, whatever the Rav did, whatever he said was honest. He said, you have a woman driving 20 miles an hour in a 90 mile an hour, shall we say, venue on the highway. No, everyone's going around her, everyone's trying to circumvent her. About a woman in a floppy hat, that's how he described it. Floppy hat. Do you know how many accidents she's going to cause? So he says, Chashem Mishpat, about is he davisin? Of course she has to know Chashem Mishpat. Comes out, a woman is chayim, dal chashem Mishpat. That's how it's allergic. So, okay, I took that with a few grains of salt, just like I took with a few grains of salt, the Rav Stabim, that all of us are chayim in karbonas, saying karbonas in the morning, midaraisa. Midaraisa. Tzuga de Zimra, the Gemara says in Kol Kisvei, Midas Chasidus. That's only a nice thing to do. Like the Mechaber, the Raman Paskins, if I come late, I always want to be a Sfaradi. He says, if I come late, so then I don't come late. I try to avoid that because the Rav should not come late to davening, or anyone should come late to davening. But let's assume you come late, then you start from Yishtabach. No problem at all. Mr. Bruce says, Ashkenazi can't do that. According to Ramad, you have to say at least minimally Yeah, Bar Shamar, Ashrei, Nishtabach, you have to say, Kosin Mishkas Yankiv, La Alocha, that's what Mr. Brewer brings. Okay, but anyway, you see that the Sikud Zimra is Shimcha Chacham, it's Emilas Chasidus. And Kabbalah's Mikir Adin. How did Rav get Kabbalah's Mikir Adin Daraisa? He has the Gemara at the end of Titus, and the Gemara at the end of Megillah, and Abed Yaina. It's Mitzayah, all the names come and they so on the spot, I questioned that maybe 55 years ago, maybe more than that. And I was, shall we say, put in my place very quickly. It was not a push at him, it's a din d'oraisa. I don't think it's a din d'oraisa to say kabbonos before davening, but I'm makbid to say kabbonos, very, very makbid, every morning, not only before shachas, for mincha as well. I try my best to say kabbonos. Sometimes I can't say it before, I say it after. That's what that's the noel I have. Okay, back over here, I just asked a question regarding, so on page number 6, which is Pirshav Shnais of the Rambam, I'm looking in Hurius, the Rambam attempts to deal with this issue. I mean, what the rationale for this mission and Hurius is all about? Kayin Kodim Levi. Chacham Lemelech. He writes here, Chacham To'alta Lu'uma G'day Lemay. He tries to provide an explanation. The To'elos of a great time of Chacham to Klal Yisrael is something which is beyond description. But Lemaise, we're not makdim on Kavan HaMelech. The Ram seems to be saying theoretically a Chacham is more important than a Melech. But in practice, you can't have a Chacham because before a king. That's exactly how Kosov. What? Yeah. Sontasim Tassim Melech HaMelech. Shaytei Basu Adacha, the Gemara says. So you can't go ahead and put him before the Melech. But the Rambam is clear. What's the guideline? To'elet Luma. Now you tell me how in heaven's name, we'll ask Rav David Zuckerbach Shlita. How in heaven's name do you determine that? Who gives more to Ella the Umma? What a pelotic Rambam. They write such a rationale. On page 7, I saw an article many years ago. I actually was zeicha to know the author, Ramesha Herschel, as a Chassad de Bracha. He put out many kisiyat of Rishayim.
Isn't that like a sort of like contextual?
I would say so, to say the least. I'm asking to you. Where did he see such an idea, the Rambam? Where did he get it from?
To actualize this Rambam will be the condition.
People tell me today that buffoons, who are clowns, who make jokes, that's a greater to'el l'umma than the greatest Talmud Chacham. My mother, La Shalom, used to think that there were two G'dol Yisrael. Shlomo Kalbach was one, and the other one was Esther Youngreis. These were the two G'dol Yisrael that we grew up with. She felt that seems like they're more important than Rabbi Feinstein, Rabbi Henkin, Rabbi Bick, the people that she spoke to on a weekly basis. That's what she saw. I was away for Shavuot Shel Pesach, and that's where the belt is holding. The belt is holding by buffoonery, by Sipurei Savta, what I call, they call it fluff. I call it bluff Balma. Okay, I'm a little bit on the sharp side sometimes, but...
Who is that? So actually spearheaded the truth movement.
I mean, tremendous. And not Chas V'Shalom. What he did, they claim that Shlomo Kalbach was Makai more people than Ramesha was Makai his entire life. And to the Igris Meshach, to all those other Svarim, Dibris Meshach that no one really reads, no one understands. I mean, that's what they told me. And I asked the young guys, I'm not Chas V'Shalom poo-pooing their value. They unquestionably have tremendous, tremendous value. I'm not in any way saying that. But the Rambam says here, To'al to the Umma, that's what he's referring to, you're saying. But where did he get this from? The Gemara doesn't say. It's his own interpolation, his own interpretation. And the Pirshah Shnais of the Rambam, here's where he, on page 7, so here also, Ramesha Herschler was a Rosh Yeshiva in, he was actually probably one of the first individuals 60 years ago put out Kisviyat of Yishenim. Today it's being done by Masada Rav Kook and many, many others who put out really Kisviyat from Yishenim that we discovered. So he was the first one to do it. He actually was at Tzkufa. He was in Skokie in Chicago, Yeshiva in Skokie. He came to Chutzaris to look into libraries, to find manuscripts. That's what he came for. And he came to New York as well, and he said a shir in Yeshiva Sabbath Yisrael Chanan. And I was there to meet him, and that was a goy nadia. But he's a Boki in Kisviyat. Boki in, first of all, being Mufaneach Kisviyat. And number two, when he wrote... He was the first one to introduce Kisviyat of Rishonim. We have, I don't know how you learn without a ritva. Maybe you could learn without a ritva. I can't learn a shas or many mesechtas without a ritva. I can't say I learned all the other Rishonim. But the ritva that they annotated made life easier for you, so that's no question. To me, the ritva is like a briska. I see Tzvei Dinim in every page of the Ritva. That's what I see. And the Ritva is the Talmud of the Rashba, and the Rashba is the Talmud of the Ramban. So it's going back to the original Makaris. Those are the Rishonim that I learned, those three. That's about the extent of it, and I don't see anybody else. Don't look at anything else, Kimat. I have enough problems just figuring out that I don't, unfortunately, maybe, or people say it's unfortunate. I know people who say Shurim from what they call those brown books and blue books. I have them over here somewhere. Mesifta. I don't even look at those Svarim. What's the point? One should learn Gemara Ashi Tesis well, be Medayik in the Lashon Sev Rishonim, and conceptualize whatever is necessary to do. That's what we try to do as best we can. Okay, anyway, Rabbi Herschel here has a suffix. V'nei Yeshel Yistapek. See what he writes here. Im din zeh shel kedima hu seidu adifuyot v'hilchot hatzola v'im dinim be'asi v'lav shel osam v'adam v'echa adinim hashov as haguf o efshor shabir b'zeh domna mitzad chiyu v'atzola kol hafashor shabos. When it comes to hatzola, obviously, how do you make distinctions? Ela mekevin she'ashtin yochel hatzol shneem v'rach echa me'em. You can only save one of them. B'zeh omru she'esh din kedima mitzad hakov v'chashir v'she'esh lo chad yisra ish she'shar p'vitzah tzol ish v'chein ha'kein al yisra v'chein nidish din ha'kdoma b'mishu chashir yosik v'she'esh svar l'aktam v'hatsu mishin tzorchum yosir v'shuach melchoma k'ayom b'zgan hatsi v'tzorchum l'abeis melchoma yosim ha'shev z'gan mi yo ikru din zeh amam chiyu v'akov v'chayim l'chab v'chashir v'yosir has nothing to do with that tzorchum. It's a question of COVID that we're obligated to show, and that's what he writes over here. Means the Kohen and Yisrael are drowning, and I saved the Yisrael, not the Kohen. What have I violated? Is the Seder Kedima based on Lo Sava Adam Re'echa? That means that the Kohen before the Yisrael. Oh no, there's an order based on Chashivas, a contribution to Klal Yisrael, contribution to Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. That's what he writes over here. And he brings actually Nafka Midas Halacha, and this is, I'll give you another question that's also came up actually once. Someone is married, and let's say it has many, many children, and the other individual is single. Is that a factor? Is that to be reckoned with regarding the dinim hatzolah? Not mashma at all. And that's a factor making determination. The fact that I'm on the fashot, and the fact that the other one is only one nefesh, doesn't seem to be a factor. Now, what does shoven mean in the Mishnah? It's mashma in the Torah knowledge. That's what, again, here. As I mentioned earlier, Rav Moshe Feinstein says age does not play any role whatsoever. So maybe marital status doesn't play any role as well. It doesn't say anywhere that I know that marital status is a factor regarding these matters of Hatzolah.
To Tzedakah, maybe.
What?
Tzedakah,
yeah, that's a separate halacha in Tzedakah. But I'm talking about in terms of Hatzolah, or how do you reckon a Navi behind the Kohen Gadol? Gemara quotes a pasuk here. Tzedakah Kohen Menosin HaNavi. So it says in the pasuk, Kohen before Navi. Mela, a kind takes precedence over a Navi. But in practical considerations, may I just talk about a few minutes that are left. Some practical considerations. This is also discussed by a lengthy Prima Godim, and then in a famous series of Chubis on the last few pages of Agoin and Moshe Feinstein and Chesha Mishpat, he discusses some of these issues. Let's say if I have two sick people, one is Vada Sakona. And if I don't give him the tipul that he requires, life-saving tipul, the second one is the Savi Sakona, I only have the ability to handle one of them. So now the question is that clearly there's an obligation, seemingly, it's also here, the Prima Godim, on page 8, in Shin Chav Ches, in Shulchan Aruch, he said, you treat the Vali Mesukan. Because Vali is Docha Safek, means let's say both come into the emergency room at the same time. And there's only one doctor available, you can't treat both. Prima Godim said, you treat the Vada Mesukan and not the Savi Mesukan. That's what he writes to Halacha. And he says over here that one is the Vada Nitzrach. And Rabbi Moshe Herschel also in that essay a few pages earlier, he says, this treatment will be very effective for one, a Savi for the other. So the Vada takes precedence over the Savi. It's a very, as I said, fundamental distinction between these two. Then they also have, here Rav Moshe Herschel also has Nis Tshuva, and also the Prima Godim. This is another question which Rav Moshe deals with at great length. And this is really one of the most famous Tshuvas, where one person definitely needs refuah, and we know what to do, but it's only V'chai Yishoh. The second Cholah before us, his life can be extended, V'chai Olam, so now it's a Suffolk, whether what I do. Again, Chai Olam versus Chai Yishoh. So Rav Moshe here has very important principles in this Tshuva Chesha Mishpat. He lays down a lot of Yisoidos regarding triage. And the Tshuva has to be examined very, very carefully. Or let's say, who gets the bed with the monitor, the RUV? Let's assume there's only one such bed, an ICU unit, and things of that sort. So Rav Moshe writes here, let's say another case, one person came first. They didn't start treatment yet. The next one comes, what do you do? So he writes, near Lufiyan his daiti, before they put him in the bed, the patient that the doctors feel has a greater chance of survival, he should be treated first. That's only if you didn't take one of them and put them in a unit. Once you put him in a unit, then Chayesha, let's say he gives the example, a lung cancer patient only has Chayesha, visibly a 35-year-old with chest pains, you cannot take the first patient out. Once you already put him in, Rav Moshe writes that it's also behechlet to go ahead and now give precedence to the other individual, who may be in a more serious kind of situation. So he writes here, Chayolim overrides Chayesha, Bazil the Alma. But the Chole himself is a Chayesha. Let's say he has medication for himself, even though he's only a Chayesha, he doesn't have to give the medication for someone else. Chayecha Kodman, under all circumstances, even if his life, he says he has Chayolim, and your life is Chayesha, so the Chole himself, once he's there, has the right to remain there, and you cannot put yourself in a Vare Sakona to save someone else from Vare Sakona. But here the subject of Moshe is, since life of one is only Chayesha, and the other one is Chayolim, can they give up his Chayesha to give someone else Chayolim? That's what he writes, a long, long tshuva over here. And again, Rav Moshe says, if the first person comes first and sees they're going to give to the other person of the ICU unit, it might lead him to tear of hadas. It might lead him to a situation of, literally, he will simply go berserk. They're not treating me. So now we have to be concerned about the psychological strain. And that might be Mikari Misoso. And then he writes, Lamaisa, take the first one, even though he's the Chayesha, but of course you give the other one treatment as well. And so he goes through all these, I mean, very, yes, four and five pages here of this tshuva. And again, this tear of hadas is very difficult to, I guess you have to bring psychiatrists in or people who are
mumkin. Is this the case of the conjoined twins?
Right, that's also the conjoined twins, the famous tshuva.
I heard from Rav Temler multiple times that he was involved with this case. It was a family from Lakewood that had a child, conjoined twins, in CHOP, University of Pennsylvania, my alma mater. And C. Everett Koop at the time was the chief of surgery there. He later became the surgeon general. And there was a tense meeting of the ethics committee, what to do with this family. And they asked Dr. Koop, what are we doing? He says, wait, there's an old man on the Lower East Side of Manhattan.
Are you serious?
I'm waiting for his response.
Oh, is that something?
And the tenor says, because of that, he was off to become a surgeon general. He was a devout Catholic, I think, and he was waiting for Moshe's psak.
Wow. Okay, so you'll I'll end with one I saw. This was told to me by a member of the Herzog family. There was a member of the Herzog family. I lived in Toronto. They were in Ottawa. So I think it was in 1948 where Rav Moshe was called by Rav Herzog. He was the chief rabbi of the state of Israel at that time. Isaac Herzog, the president, is named after his grandfather. So there was a meningitis epidemic in Eretz Yisrael, which obviously is the Chol HaShesh Sakona, and it's treated with penicillin. They only had a limited amount of penicillin. Antibiotics here were not available, not enough to treat all the children, and the issue was in Shaarei Tzedek. So the question that Rav Herzog asked Rav Moshe, whom do we have to give the medicine to first? Who has a din kedima regarding this matter? So Rav Moshe asked him, how are the beds in the ward of Shaarei Tzedek, how are they arranged? What's the arrangement of beds? So Herzog told him, the beds are arranged one after the other. So Rav Moshe says, that's the case. Kol HaKedem in the arrangement, Zocha. Whoever is first in the bed arrangement, which obviously was helter-skelter, whatever is first in that arrangement, it doesn't make a difference if it's a boy, if it's a girl, if it's a Kohen, if it's a Levi, if it's a Yisrael, no distinction whatsoever. So Rav Herzog asked him, this was told to me by a member of the Aronson family in Toronto, and the wife is connected to the Herzog, she's a Herzog herself, and so she's the one that the source of the story comes from. So Rav Herzog asked Rav Moshe, what's the rationale? What's the basis for your, why do you say that the bed arrangement is that which goes? So Rav Moshe said, don't ask me for any rayas. This is how I paskin, this is how I paskin the halacha, this is what you should do. That's a good halacha. Now, what exactly was the reasoning of Rav Moshe? So I pressed this member of the Herzog family, what was the reasoning of Rav Moshe? So the Mishnah here in Huryas There are priorities. All things being equal, the kohen before the Yisrael. Now Moshe apparently learned that only applies to a situation where both are equidistant. That's how he understood the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Hurrius. You don't come to one before you come to the second. But if I have a cholesh yesh sakona, then you come to one before the other, then there's no difference what their status is. The first one you come to, that's the obligation to save that person's life. Whether it's a kohen, Levi, Yisrael, young man, young woman, it's similar to the principle of emavin alamitzis. That's what Rabbi Moshe apparently held. It's in the Isa, Rashi, and Yuma. Emavin alamitzis. So therefore,
that's only by a Jew.
Okay, Beseder. Okay, good. I'm not here. We're talking about a situation in Eretz Yisrael. They all were Jewish. So we're talking about all Jewish patients and with this meningitis. Anyway, the similar halacha reference to Talis and Tillin. Okay, you have to read this tshuva carefully, the one over here, where he tries to lay down klolim regarding this matter, and this is a very significant issue, and you see that this is the issue that the Gemara deals with over here on Safa Beis Amud Aleph in Bava Metzia. Okay, just to remind you that the next 2 weeks I won't be here, so don't come on Friday. Oh.